Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I want to shout out Linnell Willingham for a moment. I've seen the young fella grow up right before our eyes here at the Fan. Watched him come in, you know, taking whatever shifts he can get. You know, that's what you do. You take whatever the boss man will give you, no matter how many hours it is, no matter what time of day it is. And the young fella continues to thrive, and now he's put into some network hours as well. Great to see him growing up right before our eyes. I know Doc Walker and I are like proud papas watching Linnell do his thing as he was on 3-6 right before us here on The Fan. Look, I mean, as Andre Manassas is always a great caller, you know, I think, you know, his question is the same question we're all asking. You know, and the answer right now is we really don't know where this is going. We don't know what the end game is. Right now it's becoming professional football right before our eyes. And what we're hoping is they find a way, and that the young men playing it find a way to also, you know, get a degree and get an education out of this thing too, because many of them will not play pro football. And you're going to need that degree, because a lot of these jobs out here discriminate against you if you don't have one, whether that's fair or unfair. And, you know, I think that's ultimately what you're hoping happens here at a minimum for these young men. You know, one piece of bad contact can change your life. It can rip your knee up. It can bust your hip. It can bust your chest. You can get hit with a head injury. You know, I mean, like I was talking about earlier with Aaron Davis, we watch him get carted off the field. Young man from Friendship Collegiate, you know, it was basically accidental what happened to him. You're hoping the young man can make a fast recovery and get back out on the field and continue to get a great degree at Bucknell, one of the great schools in our country. But that's how fast it can change, especially for those that play the sport of football. It's a violent game. The question, Andre, is I don't know if we really know. I don't even know if the people that are running college football really know where it's going. They're just kind of flying by the seat of their pants right now. And, you know, ESPN and Fox are the two puppets up there just throwing money. I mean, it literally, college sports right now is literally like a dancer in a club. And ESPN and Fox are just the people throwing the dollar bills at them out there on the stage saying, oh, this is great. This is great. You're bringing us viewers. You're bringing us advertisers. This is great. Here's more money. Here's more money. And ironically, who would have ever thought this? We were having a great discussion about this, you know, last week with a couple of folks. Who knew that in 1979, when we started watching Big East basketball on Channel 5 around here, the Big East package, which included, obviously, our Georgetown Hoyas here in town, and it really was the TV package that changed college athletics for many, many years to come, because it made the Big East. The Big East was made up of all of these, in many cases, Catholic, you know, Northeast schools with a lot of rich alumni. And, you know, as Len Berman and I to this day still commiserate on Twitter about great moments in the Big East. He was the first play-by-play man. He was a TV sports anchor for Channel 4, I believe it was, in New York. And he was the first play-by-play man on that package with Dave Gavitt, who, of course, was eventually the commissioner of the league. And then Mike Gorman, of course, longtime voice of the Celtics, took over that package with Bill Raftery. And, of course, we know what Bill Raftery meant in terms of TV. I mean, Bill, every bit as big as Dick Vitale. I mean, Dick Vitale and Bill Raftery are two of the major reasons why the sport got really popular on television. But it was that Big East package that started it. And then all of a sudden, you know, because for years we had the Jefferson pilot package with Jim Thacker and Billy Packer and Bones McKinney and Tim Brandt, you know, Bucky Waters. We had all those great TV packages, but that's all you got. That was the only tasty morsel you ever got. And if Maryland was playing in that package, it was great. Otherwise, you had to go to Cole Fieldhouse to watch the games. Well, now, you know, we have, you know, less than sellout crowds at a lot of places because the TV has gotten so good. People just stay home because of the cost. And in some cases, the danger when you leave your home just trying to get somewhere. But, you know, ultimately, you know, our haste to get all these sports televised so we can see them in some ways has ruined the sport that we all loved. And, you know, yeah, I mean, we still have it in its purest form, the Division III levels. Division II, obviously, is 36 scholarships, I think it is. FCS, like Howard, who's got a chance to win the MEAC this year, is 63. But I'd love to know how many of those schools in the FCS actually give 63 full scholarships. You know, I mean, I'm watching North Carolina Central and Alabama State yesterday playing at the home of the Dolphins. There's about 1,000 people there. Yeah, it's great they get to play in the NFL venue, but literally outside of the bands and the cheerleaders, about 1,000 people in the stands watching that game. How do those schools survive eventually in this world of college football? The rules continue to conspire against teams like Army and Navy and Air Force, you know? Yet these three teams still somehow continue to attract amazing young men who want to be, you know, football players and serve their country. It obviously gets tougher and tougher for them based on these rules because the three of those schools don't participate in NIL. You know, if Ben's Chili Bowl wanted to, you know, sponsor a player at Navy, they couldn't do that. I mean, it's just the nature of the business. The government won't allow that to be the case. So those schools have to look at it through a completely different prism. The Terps now, they hired Chris Weiner, fantastic executive from over with the Nationals. Rob Carlin, of course, Maryland grad and, longtime TV guy in the area. He's working in an NIL department. And now the problem for schools like Maryland and others, I mean, look, Maryland bangs on you for the Terrapin Club, you know, which gets you the right to buy tickets. They want you to buy the tickets, obviously, because they want people in the seats. And then, oh, by the way, they need even more from you because they got to have the NIL package, for their coaches to be able to give their athletes and all the respective sports teams. And it just, you know, some schools are eventually going to run out. But I say, you know, with all of these Maryland grads, all of the people that come through Maryland Law School and are, you know, end up being doctors and everything, you know, because Maryland's got an incredible academic offering over there in College Park. I mean, they have everything you could possibly want if you're a student athlete. But, you know, ultimately, in the end, the question's going to become, when is enough enough? You know, Ohio State boasts, hey, you know, we got, it takes $20 million to run our franchise over here. You know, do you think Maryland's got $20 million for the franchise? It's probably not happening. You know, and then Kevin Willard needs money for players, and Brenda Freeze needs money for players, and, you know, you hope Matt Swope can have a few, you know, dollars for players. I mean, look at what Matt's guys are doing in the minor leagues right now. I mean, they're kicking butt. Baseball, great baseball program over in Maryland. You know, see great players like Sammy Steffen and Courtney Weish out there in the softball world now giving back, you know, but it's Maryland's got a great academic offering. The question ultimately is how many of you, because Kevin Plank, Rick Jacklich can't keep paying the bills over there and whoever else is helping pay the bills. I mean, they can't do it all by themselves. And for Maryland to keep up with the other, you know, 17 teams now that are participating in the Big Ten, you know, you as fans, you want to hold Coach Locks and Kevin Willard and Brenda Freeze to the fire for, you know, not winning games if they lose a game. Well, you know, most of those people, I'd love to know how many of those people that are doing that are you know, chipping into that NIL fund to help them secure a lot of these great local athletes that they've been able to secure here. I mean, my guy Malik Washington's an unbelievable young man. I mean, not only is he a great player, but he's just a fantastic kid. He's got a super maturity about him, and I think he's going to do really well over at Maryland. And look at the door that opened to even more local kids. They're like, oh, man, Malik's going there. Well, we're going to go there. Well, how do you keep Malik there? How do you keep all those guys that went with him over there? The Damatha running back, I believe, that's going there as well. So, I mean, it's, you know, that's the next challenge for Maryland and a lot of these other schools. How do we compete with Ohio State? How do we compete with Michigan? You know, do we hope that Bo Braid, you know, makes it with the Ravens and gets a big contract somewhere down the line and he can give back a, you know, maybe $250,000 of NIL or something, you know, somewhere down the road? I say that facetiously because Bo's making the NFL minimum right now. But what a great story for him, the River Hill product, making it with the Baltimore Ravens at the safety position. And that's, you know, but that's ultimately what Maryland is going to have to lean on. They're going to need a couple of these guys to make it big, and maybe they can help out with some NIL. Because in addition to monitoring the portal and finding some good athletes in there, you know, it becomes an arms race. You know, it becomes an arms race, or it takes you taking a risk. You know, like you look around the country now, we got football players transferring from Harvard because Harvard doesn't have fifth-year programs. So now you're going to, you're seeing guys like at Harvard and other schools like the Ivy that pop up on these rosters, and you're like, oh, wow, this guy can play. But there's a risk to that. You don't know that a guy in the Ivy League can make the transition to a Power 5 roster, because not every guy that transfers from an Ivy is going to be able to do that. You know, eventually, you know, I mean, we saw what Kenny Blakeney allegedly said about, you know, hey, you know, Howard's open for business. Come drop, you know, $300 million on our program. And Mr. Wonderful would laugh him out of the, you know, building at that kind of evaluation of his program. But you know what? It doesn't hurt. You never know who might, you know, they may not give you $300 million. They may not give you $300,000. But any little bit can help a program like Howard try and compete in a MEAC that really doesn't want to. And it would behoove Howard to get out of the MEAC as soon as possible. I don't care where they end up, but it would behoove them to get out of that league as soon as possible, because they seem like they want to compete on one level and the rest of the league can't. The UMASs of the world can't. Can't compete on the same level. They're losing touch with the league, you know, as well. And, you know, I think Howard at some point is going to have to do what Hampton did, North Carolina A&T did, and that's look for greener pastures somewhere out there. And not that any league they join is going to, I mean, because they're not going to the ACC or anywhere like that where they get a big check, you know, from somebody TV-wise at the end of the year. But it can never, you can never hurt to ask. It's just like players that sign big contracts. We're never going to, you know, fault a guy for signing the big contract, because, you know, if the guy's offered a big contract, sure. You know, we're all going to sign on the dotted line when it comes to, you know, that kind of life-altering cash. Don't blame the kid, you know, for taking the NIL, the most NIL. Why? Because more often than not, guys coming from a situation where, you know, sometimes, you know, things haven't been the best for his family. And all of a sudden, he can do something nice for his family and set them up, you know, for life, so to speak. I mean, it's going to be life-changing money, life-altering money, you know, for kids sometimes in this situation. And, you know, hopefully when they get the money, they know what they're doing with the money, and family members don't just pluck at it. And, you know, eventually, you know, whittle it away, and then the young man has nothing to show for it, especially if the NFL or the NBA is not in their future when they get done playing with college athletics. 1-800-636-1067 coming up. Start to turn our attention. We'll obviously take any questions you have on college football as well. Maryland fans, where are you at? Your team won 50-7 this week. Let's hear from you as well. Navy fans, your team won as well, both undefeated going into week two. But the pros, the big Jimmies and Joes, get it going on Thursday night. Team that lost in the Thursday night game last year eventually won it all. They're back in that Thursday night game again this year because they keep winning. We'll talk about the opener and the start of the NFL season coming up next. 1-800-636-1067. Peanut Sports with Udall 9 right here on 106.7 The Fan.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You know, it's kind of funny. Tomorrow night, I got the only fantasy league that I play in every year, 20 teams. And, you know, obviously, it's a keeper league. I did keep Derrick Henry because I think Derrick Henry's going to have a big year for the Ravens because of opportunity. I think he's going to have opportunity to have a big year. He's not going to have to quite carry the load like he did in Tennessee, but I think he's going to be a touchdown vulture in a red zone. So, you know, and then I wrestled with keeping one of Devontae Smith, Mike Evans, or David Njoku. You know, Njoku's risky because you just don't know what you're going to get with Deshaun Watson right now. You know, Flacco and Njoku hooked up seemingly like 90 times a game when Joe got there. It was great. But, you know, that's the only other person I'm considering keeping. You know, the rest of them, I'll take my chances. My quarterback sucked last year. Russell Wilson was terrible, and Obviously, you know, when he gets replaced, you're trying to play the guy behind him, and that was obviously a disaster as well. But as you plan now, this is like the big deal. I mean, everybody's going to have their drafts because the season's right around the corner, and who are you going to pick and stuff like that. And the race, you know, the race is on, obviously, for two of the guys you're going to see on Thursday night to start the National Football League season. And, you know, just like everybody's panicking because, you know, some good franchise brands lost in college football this week. But, you know, with a 12-team playoff, these teams have a lot bigger chance to get back. Last year, people after the week one, Chiefs lost to the Lions the way they did. Everybody's like, oh, you know, they lost too much. There's no Tyreek Hill now to bail them out and get them big plays. And then by the end of the season, ironically, it was the defense for the Chiefs that stepped up and won them the AFC and won them a title. It was Spags who did an amazing job as a defensive coordinator with that team last year. And when training camp got underway, you know, media there in Kansas City get their chance to talk to the coordinator. And first question, you know, Spags, you know, what worries you about 2024? And he says the Baltimore Ravens. And opening night, we're going to get a chance to see, you know, that slimmed down version of Lamar Jackson. I've seen him at camp. Yeah, he looks fantastic. Is he mobile and moving? Yeah, lightning quick out there. But Derrick Henry going to be in the backfield making a difference for that team. And, of course, Kansas City. Until Kansas City is like the horror movie character. Until they decide that the franchise is over, until they stop making, you know, those movies, you always have to worry about the Chiefs. Particularly as they're situated right now with, you know, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, you know, Chris Jones on the defensive side. Xavier Worthy's going to be a big addition to that team as well. They will miss Marquise Brown early in the season, so remember that if you're in a fantasy draft. You know, Hollywood Brown's not going to be available probably the first couple of weeks of the season, so you're not going to want to take him as high as you might have considering you'd be playing with a guy like Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, ultimately, Thursday night, somebody's going to lose that game. And a fan base is going to be disappointed. And, you know, you're going to think after 1 week your team's got no shot. And yet both teams will have a great chance to win the AFC at some point later on this season if they can keep all the requisite people healthy. And, you know, when you look at the AFC is just so incredibly deep. Now, even though there are great quarterbacks in the American Football Conference right now, which, you know, gives them, I think, a little bit of a leg up on the NFC right now. But when you look at the AFC overall, and you look at the quality of the quarterbacks in this league, the AFC right now, man, it's going to be some fun football. And you're going to be hard-pressed each and every week to get wins. Because the guy on the other side of the field is going to be pretty darn good. I mean, the three of the four quarterbacks in the AFC East, Rodgers, Tagovailoa, Allen, you know, clearly it's going to be Brissett early before May in New England. In the AFC North, it's Lamar, Burrow, for the time being, Wilson, and Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. Jacksonville with, you know, Trevor Lawrence. Houston with C.J. Stroud. Indianapolis with Anthony Richardson. Tennessee does not have a quarterback. I do not believe in Will Levis. He's going to have to show me. So until we see it from him in regular season games, I'm not buying what the Titans are selling. Now, here's where it gets a little interesting. Obviously, you have Mahomes and Herbert in the West. Can Bo Nix and Sean Payton strike an accord with each other that gets them going and playing positive football in Denver again? The Raiders situation, look, I mean, it is what it is. It's Gardner Minshew. And when Gardner Minshew's there, you know, you got about a 40-60 chance every week to potentially win the game with him. You know, at some point, there are many weeks he does play decent. Then there are some weeks he makes the killer mistake that gets you beat. I want it to work for Antonio Pierce there, but until he's in a position maybe to get a franchise-changing guy at that position, you know, how they get the 10 or 11 wins certainly going to be a challenge. NFC. In the East, look, Daniels hasn't played a game yet. Jones has been terrible, which has been a little bit of a surprise. I mean, look, he was well-tutored by David Cutcliffe, the same guy that tutored the Mannings. And physically, he did some things at Duke that made you think, yeah, he can play this game. And in the NFL so far, it's just been a complete disaster, with the exception of the games against the Commanders. If he could play the Commanders every game, Daniel Jones would be much more highly thought of in the National Football League. But you have Hurts and you have Prescott, who are better than average. If a team said, you have to go play a game with those two guys tomorrow, you'd say, okay, we got a fighting chance. NFC North, look, it's Darnold because McCarthy's out. The Bears obviously have Caleb. The Packers have Jordan Love. Detroit's got the veteran Jared Goff. It's going to be a strong, strong division. South, you know, journeyman city here with Baker. You know, obviously Kirk Cousins is going to turn Atlanta's fortunes around. Great conversation with Wes Durham a few weeks ago when Atlanta was in Baltimore to take on the Ravens about, you know, how Atlanta's going all in. You know, they brought in Jeremy Simmons as well. Falcons see it. They see an opening there to take over in the South. You know, until, you know, we see what Canales does with Young in Carolina. Dennis Allen's a terrible football coach with the Saints. I'm not buying what they're selling either down there. NFC West, obviously you got McVay and Stafford together there. Geno, you know, the resurrection has been better than average. Obviously Purdy with the Niners. Kyler Murray back healthy with Arizona. That's not necessarily a bad division. You can win some games with those guys. But you would take the AFC quarterback situation probably now slightly ahead of the NFC. And two of the best get together coming up on Thursday night. What will happen in that game certainly remains to be seen. Everybody's playing the revenge factor, the revenge angle for the Ravens. Is it really about that, or just proving to the world that you are primetime players and against the best teams you can get a victory? Because that continues to be the one narrative that people try to throw at Lamar Jackson. We'll talk about that as the season gets open underway on Thursday night. And then on Sunday, for your Commanders, you've got the youngster going up against the guy that has resurrected his career and, you know, certainly continues to play a modicum of decent football with Tampa Bay, as Jaden Daniels will take on Baker Mayfield coming up on Sunday. We'll do that next. 1-800-636-1067. Halfway home on a Monday night right here on 106.7 The Fan. If you listen to the Junkies, by the way, every morning, as, you know, someone that can relate, obviously having two sons that have played college athletics, shout out to EB, who for once will not have to travel very long to watch his daughter play some volleyball this weekend, because she is playing in part of the Kristen Dickman Invitational this weekend over at the Naval Academy. So EB's daughter, of course, plays for Cornell. They play at 3 o'clock on Friday against Liberty, and then Saturday they'll take on Navy at 7 o'clock, and then they've got one more with UC San Diego Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock before they get to leave town. I'm actually broadcasting the Thursday and Friday Navy matches versus Liberty and UC San Diego. Those are on ESPN Plus, those two. And then Saturday's game will be on ESPN Plus. Dave McHugh will have the call of that because of the 7 o'clock start time. I'll be doing football that starts at 3:30, and maybe just physically impossible to get over there by 7 o'clock for me to do it. So Dave McHugh will call that action on Saturday. But Eric gets a home game this week as Cornell's in town for three. And if you like volleyball and you're in the area, it's great volleyball. It's an unbelievable sport. It's one of my favorite to broadcast, and I'm sure EB's daughter and her team would enjoy your support out there this weekend. Look, Thursday night, we've got two primetime guys in the opener. It's more than just Lamar, though, and it's more than just Patrick Mahomes. Just like on Sunday, it's going to be more than just Baker Mayfield. It's going to be more than Jaden Daniels in that game. And, you know, ultimately, what separates guys like Lamar and Patrick Mahomes, they're able to compartmentalize. Does it piss them off when they lose a game? You bet. They get angry when they lose a game? Absolutely. But what happens is they're able to compartmentalize and get to the next week. So Chiefs lost last year in frustrating fashion to the Lions, no doubt. They got their act together, and by the end of the season, they were back to, you know, it didn't look the same, and that's why I think we all questioned as the season went along. You know, there wasn't as much explosiveness because Tyreek wasn't there. You know, you lose the Maserati at that point. But I think Xavier Worthy's going to give them some of that. I mean, it's not going to be the same as Tyreek, but that guy is explosive, man. He has got world-class speed. He's going to make some big plays that are just because he's physically faster than other guys. And that's going to be fascinating to watch them blend him in to this offense. And, you know, obviously for Lamar, you know, he's got Zay Flowers on the outside. You got two tight ends that are better than average in Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. And now you got the battering ram and Derrick Henry. It's really going to make things formidable. Trenton Simpson looks like he's ready to replace Patrick Queen on the defensive side. Kyle Hamilton's as good a defensive weapon as there is in the game. Obviously, Chris Jones, tremendous leader on that defensive side for Kansas City. Can't wait to watch this game Thursday night. And then it gets us to the weekend. And, you know, obviously you saw today, Darius Slay, he doesn't even want to go to Brazil. They've told him, you can't leave the hotel. This is a dangerous place. Why the NFL even went here? I know why. We all know why. Somebody paid big money for them to come there. But it is just not the best time and best culture in Brazil right now. If the fans can't go there, and obviously I saw Eagles fans that were leaving town today. They were talking about how they were chanting all the Eagles stuff on the airplane and everything like that. It's got to be a big concern. It really does. I mean, why is the NFL even entertaining that? And I think at this point, I really do believe the players are hoping they just get there and come back all in one piece and get ready for week two. Because, I mean, it's not the best. I mean, you got guys don't even want to go play the game. And we know NFL guys want to show up and go play the game. There's never, you know, you don't want to sit it out. But that's going to be a fascinating environment to watch on Friday night. But then it gets us to the weekend. It gets us to the debut for Jaden Daniels. Now, look, anybody that saw the practices, the exhibition drive against the Jets after a tough practice session because the offensive line was a little sketchy. Sure, you have to love the way the young man bounced back from the tough practice session. And he's going to be okay. He's going to be okay. Ultimately, how the guys play around him, whether the offensive line can protect him, sure, that's a big deal, no doubt about it. But if he can get it, if he can get that kind of protection, that just remotely, I mean, it doesn't have to be even great, just be somewhat average, a little better than average, this young man's going to be able to make some plays for this football team. Now, question is, do they have all of the requisite parts defensively? Look, front seven-wise, I think Washington's going to be okay. Back four, let's see how it works out is my best, guess. Because I think we're all just guessing at this point. I think they're guessing at this point. You know, I mean, anybody that watches college football, we knew Mikey Sanistill was a good player at Michigan. And based on the way some of the guys played here last year, no wonder he's sticking out, you know, so much in practice because he's better than those guys are. He's better in college and, you know, obviously, you know, knows what he's doing out there. Emmanuel Forbes, when you go watch the Forbes film, there's a lot of zone. Some of his best play was in zone at Mississippi State. He made some plays off deflections, turned them into big plays. And I think that got Ron Rivera's attention and, you know, the previous staff's attention. You know, I mean, I'd love to have some truth serum with Martin Mayhew in a closed room where we could just talk and find out exactly what was transpiring here and how it was transpiring and what they saw in that film. Were they enthralled? Were they excited about his ability to turn a tipped ball into an explosive play? Because there is that on tape. There is that on Emmanuel Forbes' tape. But if you watch the tape from the year before, this dude was Elvis Patterson. He was toast, okay? But he made such a great jump from one year to the next. And look, that's about player development. That's about getting better in the best league in the country, in the SEC. It was much better. Tape was much better. Were there some plays against him? Sure. Did he take some chances? You bet. Did he get burned sometimes? Yeah. But when the ball found him, could he turn it into an electric play? You bet he did. So there's all of that on his tape. And now last year, because all of a sudden, hey, you're going to go cover the best guys in the world now. When every team rolls in with the town with some dude who can play, you're going to get caught in a bad spot or two. And his confidence was shot. And the question is can Emmanuel Forbes get the confidence level back? Skills? Is there something in the toolbox? Yes. But if mentally you're not quite there and you're not playing instinctively and you're not playing freely, that great athletic ability you have and that great physical toolkit you may have, it's held back because you're like, okay, you know, am I making the right drop? Am I turning my hips at the right time? Is this guy just going to, you know, keep running past me? Is he going to do a stop and go, oh, my God, oh, you know, he's gone by me. I've given up a big play. In the NFL, if you can't, if you don't have a next play up mentality at DB now, the quality of the wide receiver has never been better. Never been better. You've heard me say this before. When we talk about 7-on-7 football now at the grassroots level, it's allowed the wide receiver to become so much better than he ever was before they even get to the NFL. And now, when you play a guy that's got a supreme skill set, guy that's big, guy that's fast, guy that's got good hands. I mean, you see guys now in the NFL. Even at the college level, look at the kid from North Dakota State who had incredible coverage on Travis Hunter in the end zone. He was basically tackling him, and Travis Hunter still makes the catch. Now, if you tell a DB you can't make it without being in front of him, you can't cover a quality player any better than the kid from North Dakota State did, and Hunter still makes the grab. So you got to be able to step up to the next play. You got to go, okay, that's just a world-class dude making a good play. Now let me go out next drive, make a play for my team. And that's where you are right now with Emmanuel Forbes. Just worry about the next play. You know, Benjamin St. Juice, stay healthy. You know, will the football gods allow him to stay healthy out there and maximize the skill set that he has? How will they utilize Quan Martin? Quan Martin, I think, and please don't get me wrong, I'm not making the same comparison here to the player. But in terms of how they use him, you can get very creative with a guy like Quan Martin on the defensive side. Don't necessarily have to line him up in a traditional, quote, safety position at all the time. You know, Santa still's a guy that you could have roamed around the box a little bit if you wanted to, but now they love what he's doing so much, you may see him outside in coverage a lot. Certainly going to maybe see him against a really good slot receiver if that's what a team brings to town. But if you have to, you know, step him out on a Mike Evans, you want to line him up inside on a Chris Godwin, you know, this weekend, I'll be fascinated to see how Joe Witt and that defensive staff utilizes, you know, a guy like Mikey Sanistil and Quan Martin this week. Because I think Quan's a guy that you can roam around the box a little bit and use in multiple ways. He's got cover skills, certainly can play the safety position, as we know. And, you know, you can get him on coverage on certain matchups. You know, teams are going to try to isolate good tight ends on their linebackers and see what kind of a mismatch they can get. But a guy like Quan Martin can help negate that if you utilize him in a coverage situation there. You know, what kind of regular season usage will we see from Jamin Davis and Louval, and how much will being around Bobby Wagner, you know, help those guys about being professional and developing professional work ethic and the confidence to play this game at the right level? I think Jamin Davis has seen this as a new lease on life. And again, there's always been a good athlete in the package of Jamin Davis. What he was still somewhat of a complete unknown. You know, played weak side at Kentucky in the one full season that he played. But maybe with what the glimpses we've seen of what they've done with him and the work with Ryan Kerrigan, certainly from a pass rushing perspective, you know, maybe this is a way to utilize Jamin Davis that best physically fits the skill set of the player. And remember, look around. There aren't many guys here from the previous regime. They've kept this one around for a reason. It's because maybe they think that they can shape him into something that, you know, the previous regime didn't try with him enough. Maybe this is a way to elongate his career here in Washington. And yes, a lot of other front offices had, you know, mid to late first, early second round grade on Jamin Davis. Washington didn't, you know, super overdraft him. But because people loved his, you know, the athletic package that he presented, and a lot of teams thought there was something they could do with him. And for whatever reason, and maybe as we're finding out, you know, Jack's defense was just too daggone complicated for some of these guys. And we'll see what Joe Witt can do with some of them. But especially the returners, you know, guys that have to show something. The Forbeses, the Martins, the Davises of the world. This is going to be interesting to see what this new staff is able to do with them, because it's been pretty obvious so far. If they didn't think you could play, you're already out of here, because they have not wasted time getting rid of people in the previous regime, including Jahan Dotson. What did that mean, and what will the wide receiver room do coming up on Sunday? We'll talk about it next. 1-800-636-1067. Pete on Sports with you till 9 right here on 106.7 The Fan. Ultimately, those of you panicked a little bit when the Commanders traded Jahan Dotson. Everybody's like, oh, what are they doing? Think about this. Good football players are never asked to leave organizations. Very rarely is a good football player ever asked to leave except when they can't pay you, okay? If ownership says, we're not going to cut you that big fat check, more often than not, you are with the team. But when they say they're not going to pay you, then yes, it's time to move on. If they felt Jahan Dotson, it's going to be a difference-making football player for them, Jahan Dotson would still be here. And Jahan Dotson could eventually get back to that glimpse of what we saw the first year. The guy's a reasonably good football player. There, at best, he has to be number three. Okay? You know, I mean, obviously with AJ and Smith, you know, they got two guys, you know, certainly they can go get the football. So Dotson's just got to blend into the fabric, man, and be number three there. 35, 40 catches for your number three guy? You know, that's more than enough production from that guy based on how many balls Brown and Smith are going to catch likely for that Eagles team. So don't look at him catching three or four touchdowns and about 40 balls and go, oh, Washington should have held on to that guy. Because doing that with those guys is going to be much easier than enhanced production here. And quite frankly, you know, Noah Brown got caught up in a numbers game in Houston. And with Dallas, the ball was always going to Lamb. Cooper was there as well at one point when Noah was there. So you weren't going to get many footballs there. This is the one shot for Noah Brown that he's been waiting for. And I think, and obviously without, you know, being privy to conversations and, you know, you don't get to see all the practice time and all that other stuff during the season. I just believe this administration believed that there just was not enough fervor and hunger from the football player. And Noah Brown's going to see this as an opportunity of a lifetime, man. You got a chance to run next to McLaurin and have a chance to catch 60 balls plus probably legitimately for the first time in your career, because you're going to get the amount of targets it takes to get up around that number. Confident in the signal caller that can get that football out there as well. So it's a good situation for him. Can't, you know, you look at the dudes that were there in Houston. I mean, it's just there's dudes there. And somebody was going to get left out. And obviously for Noah now, here's a great opportunity. But I believe they sensed that this guy would come in here and be hungry and be a difference maker. As a 1A or 2, depending on how you wanted to label your wide receivers. That means De'Ami Brown's only got to be 3, you know. What you get out of the rest of those guys at this point, you know, remains to be seen. And it will only matter if Jaden Daniels can stay upright. Coleman, you know, so far, in what limited opportunities there have been, you know, they seem happy with what, you know, he has done. And as I said, I mean, the young man's got the frame to play the tackle position. And, you know, obviously there's got to be a lot of refinement based on the system that he came out of. I don't know how much of his college tape, other than, you know, not getting beat a ton, you know, shows you from a pro pass protection standpoint. But they seem very confident in what that young man is going to be able to do out there at the tackle position. And you'll remember, when they drafted Cosme, I told you that night that, you know, his best place was going to be guard. And that's turned out to be the case. Sam's going to be, you know, obviously, whether I don't care. I don't know what you want to call it, Pro Bowl. You know, only certain number of guys get to be all pros, but I think Sam Cosmi's got a chance to be an all pro guard. I mean, that's how good Sam is inside. He's really made a great move to the interior. Love what he's done in there, and super happy that it's working because he's a good football player, and he's a guy that you're going to want on your team. He's made a nice adjustment there, and if Coleman is the answer at tackle, you know, then this retooling is, you know, they want to call it, is going to be at least – it's going to have a shot to produce some rather, you know, decent results this year. Now, whether that translates in, you know, 8 wins, 10 wins, 11 wins – look, man, winning is hard. Winning is hard. I don't care what we're doing. Winning in business, winning in sports, winning in life, you know. I just try to make it down my steps every day without tripping over myself. You know, to me, that's a victory. But, you know, that's – this is a wins, losses. It's a results-oriented business. Coaches tell you that. Players will tell you that. And, you know, the coach is the guy that really takes it the hardest because those wins and losses go on his record. And, you know, so far, based on what the players have said, you know, they love playing for Dan Quinn. And I think a lot of people in this town, certainly in a media standpoint, and on this radio station who were firmly in the Ben Johnson camp, I think they've come around a little bit now on Dan Quinn because the players have told you everything is okay. We like this guy. We like what he's doing. And if they like what the coach is doing, they're going to play hard as hell for him. And hopefully that's the case coming up on Sunday. 1-800-636-1067. What are your expectations for Sunday and in this NFL season, if you have any thoughts? What are your expectations for this coming 2024 season? Remember, these are like pieces of candy, man. And as they dwindle down in the bag by December and January, you know, and you look at, oh, man, this is the last piece. You know, we know what it's like. As soon as that last one is gone, you know, it's like McDonald's. You hope when you buy a six-piece that they miscount and there's a seventh. Or when you buy 10, there's an 11th. That would mean a playoff game or something like that down the road. But what are your expectations for the 2024 season? 1-800-636-1067. Pino Sports with you for another hour right here on 106.7 The Fan.